Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane! Wow! Touchdown! What an athlete!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec. Brought to you each Thursday at 7 p.m. by Power Rents. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080.
Hoo-wee.
The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. We're back. Sometimes some weeks feel longer than others. This felt like a really long week. It feels like we were gone 3-4 weeks.
I wonder why.
I don't know. We've got an exciting show today. I'm looking forward to this one. You know, I do a lot of the big picture stuff with the Oregon Ducks and Oregon State Beavers, and I think that stuff's really interesting, but I also like to go local every once in a while. And I think one of the guests we're having later in the show is really fascinating. He's Charlie Picard. He's a Jesuit offensive lineman, and he's gone through the recruiting process this year as kind of an underrated, not late bloomer. He's been great all the way through, but in terms of his recruitment, he's been a late bloomer. So he's picked up some FCS offers. He's got FBS interest. FBS obviously being like, you know, the Mountain West, the Pac-12, the Big Ten. He's gotten some of those lower level offers from the FBS, or lower level FBS interest in FCS offers. And then Oregon came in recently within the last couple weeks and offered him a walk-on spot. And said, you've got a lot of potential. We could see you developing into a scholarship guy. And I want to talk to him about, one, the fact that he's right on the edge of being a multi-offer FBS guy. And he doesn't get to have his senior year. How is he staying in shape? How is he showcasing himself? How does he weigh the potential to walk on at Oregon, where you are going to learn a lot about offensive line play, where you are going to develop probably about as well as you can as an offensive lineman? In terms of coaching, listen, Mario Cristobal is a proven offensive line guy, and Oregon's done a great job developing offensive line talent. So you might peak out at your max level at Oregon compared to his other offers, but pay your way through school. It might set you up best for a coaching job, but you might get a chance to play more if you go down to the FCS. How do you weigh all that? And then I want to take a step back and do big picture Pac-12 with Kevin Wade at 24/7 Sports. He covers the Oregon Ducks, but we also often have him on. We've had him on a number of times to talk about the Pac-12 as a whole. Is USC catching up to Oregon? How's USC doing with California recruits? How's Washington doing? And I want to ask him about Arizona State. And if you missed the show last week, Herm Edwards pulled the offers. Of three kids who were committed to the program. And I called it egregious. Now, I know Kevin Wade agrees to some extent. I want to ask him about that, see what he thinks, see where Oregon State ranks in his mind in the Pac-12, and more. But I found this story interesting. And again, this is more of a take a step back kind of show. We're not going to delve into recruiting rankings super hard. Sierre Wright is the number 7 corner in the nation. Will, I don't know if you've seen this. Sierre Wright is the number 7 corner in the nation, the number 70 prospect in America. But he's going to become a big, big, big household name soon for something other than football. Will, do you know what it is?
Cooking.
He's an actor. He's playing LeBron James's son in Space Jam 2.
He's playing Bronny. Wait a minute. What point in his life?
Sierre Wright has been an actor for most of his career. He's grown up as an actor, and people didn't really know it because he wasn't, you know, like a household. He wasn't in major movies, but he landed his breakout role he is playing LeBron James' son in Space Jam 2, the number 7 corner in the country. He has an offer from Oregon. He is not going to end up going to Oregon. In fact, and this is part of the fun of this whole thing, and this was the other layer I was going to bring up, he has a number of offers, and he's undecided as a recruit. But he did an interview, and I believe it was with Bleacher Report. And if that's wrong, I apologize. It might have been SI, but I think it was Bleacher Report. And they asked him about his recruitment, and he talked about all these possibilities and then said, but at the end of the day, I can't really see myself leaving and having to fly back and forth to act because I want to keep pursuing acting. Well, there's no question he's now going to UCLA or USC, right? And he wants to be in acting, so he's going to USC. He has an offer from USC. He already likes USC. He wants to act. He's going to play LeBron James' son in a movie, so that's going to be his breakout, and then he's going to leave and go play in South Bend or Eugene or somewhere else. No, he's going to stay in L.A. so he can act. So Sierre Wright, here's my big prediction. He's going to USC. I've never spoken to him. It's just kind of obvious. But isn't that a fascinating? So when we talk about different, like, underreported recruiting stories, how about the fact that Sierre Wright's one of the best corners in the nation and also is a 5-star prospect as an actor as well? It's fascinating.
Okay. If this is a dumb question, I'll just shut up.
Okay.
Why isn't Bronny playing Bronny?
I think they need him to actually act. I imagine he has lines.
So you think they had Bronny run some lines? Because you know LeBron has a lot of creative integrity on this one. So he got Bronny in that room and had him read lines.
Okay, I don't want to disparage Bronny too much because he's a high school kid. Have you seen his social media game?
Yeah.
His dad let him have Twitter or Instagram for like 12 hours, and his very first video, and it supposedly the whole lead up was, and he even did interviews and said, my dad tells me to be really careful. He's not letting me do it because he doesn't want me to mess up the brand. And then his first video, within like hours of having an account, he drops the F word. He starts cussing. He's rapping.
Throws the N word in there. He's doing a weird reggae accent. I remember this. Yeah.
And then the video gets taken down and he loses social media for a while. Then he gets it back. And while LeBron was in the playoff bubble, he posts a video of himself smoking. Can we officially say? I mean, it definitely was. He was smoking pot in the video.
What looks like pot?
It looks an awful lot like pot.
That's the news trick. When you want to put something on somebody and you're not sure, you say what looks like or what is being reported as.
So all of this goes to say, while Bronny might be a fantastic basketball player, the jury is still out on his decision making. And I think when you're talking about a big budget movie and you want somebody who's smart, has some acting experience, and isn't going to do something really stupid that tanks the box office, you might need to look elsewhere outside of Bronny. Just saying. Great for Sierre Wright. It's fantastic. That's basically what I did there. Today, I was looking up recruiting rankings. Do you know the last time the Ducks, because you know how great they've been with recruiting under Mario Cristobal. Mm. And if you saw the tweet, then you don't get to play the game. Do you know the last time Oregon landed a 5-star recruit on the offensive side of the ball?
I'm going to guess it was a receiver.
Okay. When do you think it was?
I'm going to throw
including this year. Obviously, we've had Ty Thompson on the show. He's a 5-star quarterback. We've had Troy Franklin on the show. He's a 5-star. Oh, we haven't had him on the show, actually. But he's a 5-star guy for 24/7 Sports.
I'm going to throw out it was a receiver, okay. And I will say, like, 2017.
How about this? It's been since 2014 that Oregon has landed a 5-star prospect, period, on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, that was Helfrich or Willie, wasn't it?
It was Royce Freeman in the class of 2014.
So isn't that wild? Him?
I think that's is that a Helfrich guy?
That'd have to be, because he got fired.
See, but here's the thing. There's a multi-year recruiting situation going on there, so you're probably talking about Gary Campbell is what really is happening. And Gary Campbell recruited some really, really good ones, so I give him credit for that. But I think everybody thinks that Oregon is dang near breaking through the glass ceiling of college football recruiting, and it's like, man, they're on a whole new level. They're on that next wave. They're, you know, right there with Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama. And while I think that's true to some extent, there's still a gap. And I've talked about this on the show before. If Oregon landed the number one and number one and two recruits in the nation this recruiting cycle, if you just put them in their recruiting class and added them to the group, Oregon would still be behind Alabama and Ohio State. And not only that, but just in the long-term look of things, yes, they've gotten Justin Flo, Noah Sewell, Dante Manning, Canton Kalamatoule, Kayvon Thibodeau, all five-star prospects. Fantastic gets. Oregon actually still has a ways to go to battle for that number one spot in recruiting. And part of it is, actually, contrary to what I think most people would think, it's recruiting better on the offensive side of the ball. Now, they're doing it in this recruiting cycle. Ty Thompson is the number one quarterback in America. You know what? People can get mad at me if they want. What I see, he was the number one quarterback at the Elite 11 if you just didn't factor in previous ranking. He won the Alpha Dog Award from 24/7 Sports. He's been an absolute monster this senior season. I think when you talk to people who are involved in the rankings, there's going to be a push for him to be a consensus five-star recruit. He has been unbelievable. I don't think people understand how good Ty Thompson is. I had a conversation with somebody who does the rankings earlier today, and they said they think Ty Thompson is the best offensive recruit Oregon's ever gotten. That he's DeAnthony, better than DeAnthony, better than Jonathan Stewart. I don't think people fully understand yet how good Ty Thompson can be. So they've got Ty Thompson, who's a Rivals five-star. He will end up being a 24/7 Sports five-star recruit. They've got Troy Franklin, a five-star wide receiver on 24/7 Sports, a big-time wide receiver. And this week, Rivals listed their potential prospects who could add a fifth star and listed Kingsley Suamataia, the offensive tackle from Utah who committed to Oregon. Right now, he's number 63 in Rivals rankings. He might add a fifth star down the road, according to their leading national expert. So Oregon could get 3 5-star offensive recruits this year. It's incredible. But when we talk about Oregon as a recruiting entity, and you talk about like catching up to Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson, I think a lot of Oregon fans would assume they're right there already, that they've already kind of crossed that barrier. And I think as good as they've done, and they deserve to be commended without question, there's still a ways to go. They're on top in the Pac-12, undisputed. This will be the third year in a row they're going to be number one. I don't see USC catching them. Washington's not catching them. Stanford's not catching them. Nobody's catching Oregon for the number one spot in the Pac-12. But there's a gap between the best of the Pac-12 and Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson. And what it is getting a couple of five stars on both sides of the ball every year. And that's the one thing Oregon hasn't done. They got 3 5-stars last year, all on the defensive side of the ball. This year, they've got 2 5-stars. They might add a third if Kingsley Suamataia adds a fifth star. But that would break a run of six recruiting cycles between 5-star offensive players. So there's still a ways to go. So as great as they've been, and as much as Oregon fans should celebrate, they have the number 3 recruiting class in the nation. It's incredible. Oregon fans should also say there's still room to get even better. That should scare the Pac-12, and that should really excite fans at Oregon, because I think if you ask the average Oregon fan, how many 5-star offensive players has Mario Cristobal gotten in his career? I think most fans would say he has to have gotten 2 or 3 by now, right? And if you don't count this recruiting class, which hasn't officially signed yet, the answer would be 0. Still room to grow. I think it's interesting.
Wasn't Kayvon Thibodeau 5-star?
Yeah, on the defensive side of the ball.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And Dante Manning.
I thought you had said just 5 stars overall, but
no.
Got you. Yep.
And Dante Manning, and Justin Flo, and Noah Sewell, all in the last 2 years. Mm. So it's not like they're not getting them. They're just only getting them on the defensive side of the ball until this year. That's a trend that needs to continue for Oregon to really make that leap to battle consistently year in, year out with Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State.
Enough to belabor what could be a point maybe later in the show that we could talk about. And I know this has kind of been a thing with what Mike Riley did and what a lot of people talk about that they do out in Iowa, is that it's not so much about the rankings, but finding the individual talents of players that fit to your mold. Stanford does this as well with David Shaw down there in California. And so I wonder if this is just on like that theory on steroids, in that like, yeah, you could go get 5-star people, but you're finding these 4 and 3-star guys that do particular things really well, and you know how to fit them in. And the talent level with that theory is just taken up a notch.
Yeah. And I think to your point, look at a guy like Ty Thompson.
I mean, it's never bad to have a lot of 5-stars.
No. And realistically, you can be as great of an evaluator as you want to be. The numbers bear it out over time. Mm. You're something like 10 times more likely as a 5-star recruit than a 4-star recruit to be drafted in the NFL draft. You're something like 40 times more likely to be an all-conference performer if you're a 5-star recruit than a 3-star recruit, 40 times in the Pac-12. I mean, the numbers are overwhelming in terms of as good of an analyst as you could be, or as good of an evaluator as you could be, you can't really overcome not recruiting well. I mean, that's at the end of the day, it's just not realistic. Nobody's ever competed for a national championship and had a legitimate shot to win it in the title game in a close game where they didn't have at least one recruiting class that was a top 10 class by somebody. Oregon made the national title game against Auburn, and people said, well, they never had one. They actually were ninth, I think, according to Rivals, so they did have a top 10 class, and that class had Marcus Mariota, DeAnthony Thomas, and Eric Armstead in it, so pretty good group. But to your point, in terms of evaluating talent, that's the other thing. You've got to not be a slave to the recruiting rankings, and Oregon did a great job with Ty Thompson. Ty Thompson was considered, I think, the number 11 pro-style quarterback on one site and the number 11 dual-threat quarterback, according to Rivals, when he committed. And I remember posting the article on Facebook, and some of the comments below were like, can't we do better than this? He's not even a top 10 quarterback for the pro-style quarterback. He's not even a top 10 dual-threat quarterback. And I commented below, I was like, I don't think you guys get how good this kid could be. And now here we are, and he's a five-star recruit. So that's a great evaluation by Oregon, because if they were a slave to the recruiting rankings, they would have gone after 1, 2, 3, or 4 in the nation and not really evaluated and done their homework. And frankly, Oregon State's done a good job of that too. Look at Jake Luton, you know, look at that was a great get where they just didn't pay attention to the recruiting rankings and said, this is the best guy on film. Smart.
Was Luton a transfer?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was a JC kid, I believe, and so he was an evaluated prospect, and he wasn't considered a top 50, I believe, initially, junior college quarterback, and they took him, and he went way up the list eventually, and now he's going to start in the NFL.
I feel like as we get farther out from the Jonathan Smith era of coaching at Oregon State, that's not to say he'll leave, more just like the longer he is there, the more we will define his first 5 years as the JC years.
Probably.
Yeah.
And transfer years.
Sure. JC transfer. Yeah. Just the whatever you want to call it, the buoy years. Just like, dude, just put some talent in there.
I want to pick Kevin Wayne's braid about the Pac-12 and what he sees trending. And can Oregon stick with the number one spot? We'll ask him next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Joining me now to talk Pac-12 football recruiting, it's Kevin Wade of 24/7 Sports. Kevin, how you doing, man?
Great. How are you, Andrew?
You know what? I'm doing okay. It's been kind of a long week. I'm ready for the weekend, to be completely honest. But, alas, Thursdays always end with a bang because we've got the recruiting show. Oregon is number one in the Pac-12 recruiting rankings right now. USC is number two. Oregon is third nationally. USC is seven nationally. They might get LeBron James's son from Space Jam 2 eventually. Is this thing wrapped up for the most part? I mean, is Oregon going to end up with the number one recruiting class in the Pac-12, or do you think USC has a shot to jump them?
USC needs to hit on every single remaining prospect atop their board to be able to do this. The one luxury USC has is that they've taken smaller classes the past few years. They've had some guys go pro. They can take more than 25 due to some NCAA weird rules. They can take more than 25. Oregon can't. So that's going to be the big question is, USC runs up their total. They might have a shot, but they have to hit on everyone. They've got to land, as you mentioned, LeBron J. Son in Space Jam 2, Sierra Wright, top 100 cornerback out of Los Angeles. They've got to hit on the number one prospect in the class, Corey Foreman, and they've just got to hit on every single person. They missed out this week to Stanford for Aaron Armitage. A big defensive end out east that's a top 300 prospect. So they really can't miss on anyone else to weigh out. And Oregon still has room to grow. They've got 23 commitments. They could add one or two more, and one of those two could be a top prospect that just blows this thing away. So it's still a little up in the air, but if I was going to bet on it, wow, I would bet Oregon and a lot of money on it.
USC just did a terrible job last year. I don't think there's any other way to say it. They finished the early recruiting period with the number 12 recruiting class in the Pac-12. This year, they're number seven nationally. They are trending a little bit better. They've got a shot at Corey Foreman. They've got a shot at Ethan Calvert, the number four inside linebacker in the country. Sierra Wright's the number seven corner in the nation. They've got a shot at him. They've already landed Miller Moss and Prophet Brown, a quarterback and athlete, respectively. So they've got a chance to end up with half of the top 10 prospects in the state of California. That's much improved. Does that just simply boil down in your mind to Dante Williams, the former Oregon defensive back coach, who's an expert recruiter? Or do you think they've actually done more than just added Dante and let him do work?
I think they've added Dante and let Dante kind of guide them into a new narrative in recruiting. Recruits knew Dante well from his time at Oregon, and I think he did bring some credibility, and USC did make a number of staff changes. So those staff changes really helped to create a new narrative at USC under Clay Helton, because last year the story was Clay Helton is a lame duck. He's going to get fired eventually. This year, that's not the story that we're hearing from recruits, and that's just not the story overall in the media perspective. No one is saying, all right, well, who's going to be the coach this next year? No one is saying that right now. So I think that's really good for USC, and Dante gave them a ton of credibility, especially with California prospects, but their fourth highest rated commit, Julian Simon, was recruited by Oregon by Dante Williams. He helped on that recruitment along with other coaches, and that brought him from the Seattle area down to be a USC commit.
It's almost like you're reading my mind, because that's where I want to pivot next, the state of Washington. The Washington Huskies right now are fourth in the Pac-12, and it just feels like a massive, massive missed opportunity. For folks who do not know, the state of Washington is currently producing the number one prospect in the nation, according to 24/7 Sports, JT Tuimoloau, a defensive end, defensive tackle out of Washington. Emeka Egbuka is the number one wide receiver in the country. Both of those players right now are trending to Ohio State. And then Sam Heward, they did get the number one quarterback in the nation, but they had a chance to land the number one overall prospect, the number one wide receiver, the number one quarterback. And oh yeah, by the way, Troy Franklin, the five-star wide receiver for Oregon, played with Sam Heward on his 7-on-7 team, and Washington struggled to close him out. What happened with Washington? Jimmy Lake was supposed to be this recruiter that was going to elevate things over Chris Peterson, and unless they close really strong and shock everyone and get JT Tuimoloau or Emeka Egbuka, the story of this class is going to be that they missed on two of the best prospects ever to come out of their home state, and they're both local kids.
Washington just hasn't done a great job in keeping the really, really elite talent home. I mean, they did get Savelle Smalls last year, which was a surprise to me, but his stock did drop towards the end of the recruiting cycle from five-star status on a number of the different services. So I think it will be interesting to see what does happen. I just don't feel that JT or Emeka will end up at Washington. They did get Sam Heward, but he's a legacy. I wonder if the COVID pandemic did play a little bit into this, because if Washington would have been able to just to let those kids come to campus over and over, that would have driven how close and they were at home, which is something I think Washington needed to do, because they already were a little bit behind in those recruitments, because these guys want to go win national championships, and Washington right now does not look like a national championship contender, whereas Emeka Egbuka could go to Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and really compete for a national title. And JT Tuimoloau literally could pick any of the schools that I just mentioned, or any other school for that matter. I know he has a top seven, but it remains to be seen if Jimmy Lake can really keep those top prospects home. But he may have missed his window, because Washington does produce talented prospects, but nothing like three of the top 10 prospects in the country.
Yeah, Washington's 25th in the country, and if you just give them those top three guys that are from their own backyard, you give them those two. They already have Sam Heward. They could jump up 10 spots. They're not going to. They're behind Florida State, to give people an idea in recruiting of where they're at. Florida State, obviously, traditionally a recruiting power, but look at what's been going on with that program and how much of a dumpster fire that's been. They should not be behind Florida State, Arkansas, Minnesota, and Iowa in the recruiting rankings. Just pretty inexcusable. Arizona State is interesting. They made headlines recently. They dropped three kids from their recruiting class who were already committed. I talked about this on the show, and it really, really bothered me. I talked about non-committable offers versus committable offers and how programs can avoid that. Kevin, am I crazy for being bothered by what Arizona State did, or do you think this might be a new norm in the Pac-12? Again, this is Kevin Wade from 24/7 Sports.
You know, I don't think it's going to become a new norm. It might be a new norm at ASU. It does bother me a little bit, just because of when this traditionally happens in recruiting, it's never a good thing, and it never reflects well on the school. It's kind of been talked about. The recruits kind of knew that this was a possibility. But I do think it's interesting that ASU cut ties with guys, two from Wisconsin. There's only been one prospect from the state of Wisconsin to sign with the Pac-12, an offensive lineman at UCLA, in the past decade. So it's not like a traditional hotbed of recruiting they decided to part ways from. But I think it's just really interesting because Herm Edwards is trying to run his program like an NFL program, and you just don't see colleges doing that. You see colleges building on relationships, and you look at what kids talk and kids feel narratives. And so if a lot of recruits are saying, hey, I don't want to go play for Arizona State because they're dropping kids, well, that might create a narrative down the line. I think this year, kids are just going to want to take the best spot available. So I don't think it has any impact this year, especially since ASU does do a decent job of recruiting the state of California and around the West Coast. I think more pressing for me at Arizona State is you're dropping kids from Wisconsin trying to chase other people where there's other schools just picking at your backyard. I mean, we've seen a number of the top prospects go to Texas schools. Three of the top 10 from Arizona are at Oregon. I think that's where ASU really needs to focus instead of digging around the nation for other prospects.
I think this is a fair place to end this interview, and I want to give Oregon fan an exciting end. How good is Ty Thompson, and do you think he can earn a fifth star on 24/7 Sports as well?
I have no place to speak about the 24/7 rankings.
Speak it into existence, Kevin. Speak it into existence. Do what's right. Do the right thing. Count the votes.
The high council on the top of the mountains. And, you know, I don't make that call. I think he's having an incredible season. I think he's nearly at 2,000 passing yards through, like, four games. It's absolutely absurd. I think he's going to be right there when the next batch of rankings comes out for the 2021 class. I mean, he's already made an astronomical jump. And what they wanted to see further was his film. And I think his film's really good. If he continues to do that the rest of the season throughout the Arizona playoffs, there is a possibility, but, you know, that's not my place to make that call. But Oregon fans should definitely be excited about what they're getting in Ty Thompson. He is a very, very talented quarterback. And in my opinion, he's an absolute game changer. And Oregon already has two top 150 quarterbacks on the roster in Jay Butterfield and Tyler Shuck right now. So to say that, it's a game changer.
Is he the best where does he rank all time for Oregon quarterback recruits? And where does he rank in your mind only, not 24/7 rankings, in your mind only, where does he rank all time for Oregon offensive recruits?
For Oregon offensive recruits, I mean, I still want to put Jonathan Stewart. I mean, Jonathan Stewart's the third or fourth highest all-time recruit, and I think that still stands just because of how good he was. But he definitely passes guys like Lake Seastrunk, Thomas Tyner. He's up there in the conversation with DeAnthony as well as high school production. The film is just incredible. Sure, he has a completely different purpose, but a quarterback is a guy that touches the ball on every single play. And you saw his comeback last weekend against Gilbert. It was very impressive and made some big throws to take his team back down 18 to win by six with 6 minutes remaining. So I think he's up there. I think he is the highest rated quarterback now that he made the jump up to number 40 on the 247 composite. So 15th overall, just one spot behind Royce Freeman and right outside of that five-star bubble. Usually 32 five-stars in the class. So if he gets any more moves, I could definitely see him earning that five-star. It's just up to the three respective rankings and what 24/7 does.
Where can we find your work, Kevin?
Find it at duckterritory.com, or you can find me at Twitter at KWadeSays.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You too. I don't think people saw, if you didn't see, Ty Thompson's incredible comeback last week. They were down 18 points to Gilbert High School with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. One of his first passes, his first touchdown pass, he leads them on a comeback and they win the game. One of his first passes, he rolls out and throws a ball on a rope over the shoulders, not on a rope, but throws a ball on the run just over the shoulder of his wide receiver, drops it in perfectly, a 55-yard pass in the air on the run, drops it directly. He could not have handed the ball to him any better for a touchdown. Ty Thompson is unbelievable. unbelievable. Kevin's being political because he doesn't want to step on any toes at 24/7 Sports. But when he names all the guys that he feels like Ty Thompson is as good as, when he talks about the range of, you know, like a Royce Freeman, the range of DeAnthony Thomas, the range of Thomas Tyner and Lake Seastrunk, those are all five-star guys. So if he says he's in that range, that's Kevin kind of saying he thinks he might be a five-star. But either way, Ty Thompson, plenty of reason to get excited. Oregon might land another player down the road. They're in the mix for another player down the road that's kind of on the other end of the spectrum. Charlie Picard is a Jesuit offensive lineman. I have him as the number one offensive lineman in the state of Oregon. He recently got a walk-on offer from Oregon. He's got scholarship offers. He has to weigh all that and also continue to market himself as a prospect. I want to talk to him about his experience, how he puts together film right now when he can't make any, and more. That's Charlie Picard. He'll be next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. You know, so often we cover the five-star recruits, and they're certainly compelling stories, but so too are some of these stories of the three-star kids who are looking to find a spot. And this year in particular, it's really fascinating because they don't have senior seasons to show off film. One of the guys that was expected to be a super high riser with a senior season this fall was Charlie Picard, a Jesuit offensive tackle, 6'5", 290 pounds. He's wading through the recruiting process and has all sorts of different options. So I wanted to bring him on the show to talk about it. Charlie, first of all, man, thank you very much for joining the show. I really appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me, Andrew. This is really awesome and a tremendous opportunity. Thank you.
So I want to run down your offers so far. This is according to 24/7 Sports. So if some of this is wrong, let me know. You've got an offer from San Jose State, an offer from Air Force, an offer from Dartmouth, Eastern Washington, Idaho, any others?
Yeah, Northern Arizona's on there. Obviously the PWO to Oregon as well.
And a Valparaiso, is that right?
Yes, that's also correct.
Okay, and you recently picked up, and that's what I wanted to ask you about, you recently picked up an offer, a preferred walk-on offer at Oregon, which means they guarantee you a spot on the team, but you'd have to pay your own way until you potentially earned a scholarship. Everybody knows about the reputation of Mario Cristobal as a developer of offensive line talent. Everybody knows also that the very best thing is to have school paid for and be a scholarship athlete. You've got FBS offers from San Jose State and Air Force. You've got FCS offers. They'll pay your way. Oregon's the biggest program, but you'd have to at least start until you could potentially earn a scholarship paying your own way. How do you balance all of that to try to make the best decision for you and your family?
Yeah, obviously it's a huge decision, and my family plays a huge part into it, and obviously the financials do as well. Given that it's the University of Oregon, I'm really obviously considering it, but at the same time, it gets down to continuing to build our relationships with the coaching staff and their vision for me, because I'm really weighing that option. Recently, two offensive linemen this year just got their scholarships from Oregon when they walked on with a PWO opportunity, and I can really see myself doing that, and I think my parents can as well, and what it really comes down to is the program's plan with me and if they're all on board with it.
So I have you as my number one guy. There are guys with Pac-12 offers, or certainly at least one guy with a Pac-12 offer ahead of you, or that has that is already committed and everything. How difficult is it for you to watch that whole thing play out? Have your senior season, at least in the fall, taken away before the early signing period because of COVID, not because of any one individual, but because of COVID, and know that realistically, you could have been that breakout guy that picked up 4, 5, 6 Pac-12 offers. That's what I thought was going to happen for you this fall. Instead, you have to stay positive and work through it with no senior season. How do you go about doing that and making sure you're still making gains while also dealing with the difficult reality that you don't have a chance on the field to show what you can do right now?
Exactly. You're completely right. And that was really difficult when this whole really hammer dropped on the season. It was difficult to process because that's what I was visioning for myself as well. But as my Coach Potter said, it's a control and we can control. And that's what I'm doing. With the support of my family, support of my trainers, Coach Lenny at Line Pro and Jake at Forge, I'm getting through this. I'm lifting every day. I'm getting stronger. And the motivation is to kind of just reach my potential, do as much as I can, and end up where I want to be, where I'm going to be happy, where I'm going to succeed, and where my family's going to be happy as well. And that's the really big part of this. My family keeps pushing me, and I keep pushing myself, and that's really what I need right now and what's been happening, and it's been awesome.
We're talking to Jesuit offensive lineman Charlie Picard. He's got a preferred walk-on offer recently from Oregon, as well as FBS and FCS offers. He's trying to weigh all those options. What is it about Oregon potentially, even though you'd have to pay as opposed to a scholarship, at least to start, what is it that appeals about Mario Cristobal in Oregon that you say, man, that might be an opportunity that's too good to pass up?
Yeah, it's really what is a good example is the group last year. The guys they put on the line weren't necessarily big names at the beginning of the season. And the group they put together at the end of the season was one of the best in the nation. They got guys to the NFL, and they got a championship. They got the Rose Bowl out of it. And that just speaks to the credibility of Coach Cristobal and Coach Mirabal, two of the best in the country. And there's no one better to really learn under. And being in that position, I feel like the potential to succeed is limitless.
When do you want to make a decision, and could you be an early enrollee wherever you choose to go?
Right now, I want to make a decision before the early signing period in December. That's what we're aiming at. Early enrollment is something we haven't thought about yet, but if the right offer came along, right opportunity, that's something we would definitely consider.
I want to get you out on this. I think this is fair. I think you're an underrated guy. You deserve to be highlighted. Again, I have you as my number one offensive lineman in the state of Oregon. Whether it's through Lenny at Line Pro, whether it's your Jesuit team, whether it's teammates, give me a couple guys you feel like, not necessarily that are Pac-12 players or whatever, but a couple of guys you think deserve more looks as well. Let's get some names out there to shout those kids out as well.
Yeah, definitely. So recently I went to the Northwest Prep Showcase in Springfield, Oregon, and that was an awesome experience. It was really well put together, showcase and camp. Zach Holmes is a great guy. Was working with him down there. We are in the same group, really, the entire camp, and he's a really hard worker, and I really agree with what he has going down at Westland and what he's leading. Another guy on my team, Declan Quillen, he had that injury, and he's been kind of overlooked because of it, but he's a really hard worker, and he's a great leader, and I feel like he can fill a great position on a team.
Charlie, let's have you back on when you make your decision. You don't have to announce your decision here, but certainly after you make your decision, we'd love to have you on the show to talk about what went into it and where you're headed for the next chapter of your life. And congratulations on not only the scholarship offers, but also that walk-on opportunity at Oregon. We wish you the very best.
I really appreciate that, Andrew, and thank you for this opportunity. Yeah, I'm looking forward to coming back on, and I just want to say thank you for everything you do, especially in this time for all the athletes. It's a really great platform, and your Twitter as well. It's really awesome to see all the recognition you give out, and it means a lot to us athletes. So thank you very much.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that. I like Charlie a lot. I've talked to Charlie before, and I really expected and really feel like, and I still think it's possible that he could pick up a Pac-12 offer here or there, a scholarship offer. He's a good, good football player. And you look at this and you look at guys around the state, and you every year there are four or five guys that you go, I bet this guy pops. I bet this guy, if he puts together three, four games of great film, that he is going to get multiple offers. And Charlie was one of my guys. I felt very strongly that he would pop. Pretty disappointed that he hasn't been able to get that senior season to do that. But I bet if he chooses Oregon, he will end up with a scholarship at Oregon, because he'll work and put in the work. If he goes to a different school, he'll be a starter sooner rather than later at a place like San Jose State or Air Force. Great, great football player, underrated football player in the state of Oregon.
Can I just say, as somebody who has aged out of, looking at playing at big time schools, if I was an adult now, dude, I'd go to Dartmouth.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Are you kidding me? But Get a Dartmouth degree completely paid for.
The thing about Dartmouth, and then that's what I was going to bring up, a scholarship actually kind of just like can drop you down to like out of state normal tuition or in state tuition. It's not
like a full scholarship.
It's not a full, Ivy League schools are not full true scholars. They'll pay like books, room and board, but you have to pay for your classes or, I know.
Man,
it's a great opportunity.
Go to like Dartmouth's considered like a right there Ivy League school.
And what a great kid, too, to have those opportunities.
Yeah.
He's a good enough football player that Oregon's like, man, we could really use you and you could eventually earn a scholarship. Air Force, that takes discipline and good grades to get an opportunity there. San Jose State is no slouch as a football program. They're starting to turn it around under Brent Brennan, the former Oregon State wide receiver coach. Then he's got Ivy League opportunities. I mean, Charlie's exactly what you want, and that's why I wanted him on the show. Charlie's exactly what you want in a football player and exactly what you want in a walk-on, a guy with immense potential that potentially could earn a scholarship. And whether he ends up getting a scholarship opportunity to like an Oregon State or a Washington State or Cal or any of those programs or even Oregon, he is going to make the most of wherever he ends up. I have full faith in him and a full endorsement from me. I wanted to ask you about some stuff, some interesting life/football stuff.
Oh, I'm always interested in stuff
relating to your Oregon State career.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that next on Recruiting with Andrew Namek on 1080 The Fan. Will, we learned a lot on this show. We went through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We went over the Pac-12. I like going over, you know what? I really do. I liked interviewing a guy like Charlie Picard. And as much as we love the 4-star and 5-star stories, it is interesting to hear how he works through trying to get recruited and up his recruiting stock when he has no new film and trying to stay positive and keep growing. I really do feel for guys like that. I
gotta believe at some of those schools that he's talking about, like San Jose State and some of the smaller schools, even Air Force, I gotta believe that they're kind of adapting to the landscape as well.
Yes.
And I gotta believe this is the case for almost all the schools, unless you're talking about blue bloods or like power teams like Oregon or like USC, where it's like, I'm fishing around for the 5-4 stars and, you know, I'm going to pad some things with 3 stars, but like I need to have the full tape. I'm thinking teams like San Jose State. I mean, if you look talented in your junior film, I don't know, I'll take a chance on you. As long as when you come down here to visit with your mask on, you're not like 40 pounds overweight.
Well, 6'5", 290. That's a right tackle.
He's a lineman.
For sure.
And I could see how that would be difficult for a team too to evaluate, because I think with linemen too, it's hard to tell how physical they really might be just even by looking at them at a certain point. Because, you know, if you look really big, maybe too big, then you start to worry about mobility.
So I said I wanted to ask you some stuff relating to Oregon State, and it kind of does, but also it has to do with your teammates and your recruiting class. When you were coming through in high school, was there any kid that didn't have a lot of offers that was obviously really good and then went to college and became good, or the other way, was super, super offered, and you guys knew at the time, this dude ain't going to make it?
Yes. I feel bad about saying it.
You don't have to then.
Well, I will, and I don't think he's listening. But
what?
Well, there's another reason for that.
Okay.
Miles Wade.
Ah.
Miles Wade, my year, which was...
Big time recruit.
6'7". Yeah, he this was at a time in 2007 when getting an offer from Oregon in Oregon was considered like, oh, that's great. Now Oregon will offer kids in Oregon, and they'll offer walk-ons and stuff like that. And, you know, it's the talent pool's a little bit bigger in Oregon these days. But back in 07, like if you were offered by Oregon, it was like, oh my gosh. And so he was offered by Oregon. He was offered by Cal and a couple other Pac-12 schools. And then he also got offered very late by Florida.
The number 74 player in the nation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He ended up not getting the grades together, going to junior college. Still planning on going to Oregon, never ended up there.
Yeah. And
Miles Wade was one of those guys, because I played with a teammate, Kevin Fromm, who he came to Oregon State and we played together. And I asked him about Miles and I said, well, what do you think? And he always gave off the impression like, I mean, he's physically got it, but like the motivation is questioning.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the great sources, because you knew, right? And if a college coach would have paid attention, or if a reporter would have paid attention and asked you guys, you'd have been able to tell them. And I think that's been an important piece for me for evaluating when a guy has it and doesn't. And I'm not criticizing this person as a human being, because he's not. But in terms of a football player, Lamar Winston was a guy I was really, really down on when he was coming out. He was rated as the number one prospect in Oregon. I had Brady Breeze and Justin Herbert ahead of him. And I had Lamar like 7th behind. I don't even remember who that year, to be honest with you. But I just didn't feel like talking to some teammates, talking to some coaches, talking that he really, really wanted to be an elite football player, that he really, really liked to hit. And sure enough, his senior year at Oregon, I think he played in every game as a linebacker and finished with like 14 total tackles his senior year. And he was kind of phased out. Whereas Brady Breeze was a guy who people went, he's a white safety, he's not that great. And everybody I talked to was like, he's really instinctual. He will find ways to make plays. And you went and looked at, finally, when he got his opportunity at Oregon, he made those plays. And sometimes you get more information from talking to the kids about who really is great, who's really got a chance. Another one that stood out to me was Samori Torrey. Samori Torrey was a guy who ended up at Montana, and he's going to break a ton. He's an All-American at the FCS level. Anthony Adams out of Newburgh is another one. They were FCS kids, but talking to the kids, they were like, these two are the two, maybe two of the best 3 or 4 players in the entire state. They just play at Westview and Newberg, who weren't great at the time, but everybody said Anthony Adams is amazing. He was up for the Heisman at the FCS level. He's at first team All-American corner. unreal. Samori Torrey, an all first team All-American wide receiver. Sometimes talking to the kids is really interesting. Charlie Picard is one that a lot of people believe in, so I wanted to bring him on. Fascinating stuff. Will, we made it through a show, and we're almost done making it through a week. We'll be back next week. I think next week's only going to feel like a normal week. I hope. This last stretch between shows felt like a month and a half, I swear. But thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Appreciate you.
Thanks for joining us for Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, the show for college recruiting fans with the inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. Read Andrew's latest recruiting news in the Oregonian and Oregon Live, and listen for Andrew's updates throughout the week here on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.